We go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. I took that as a lead verse. Speaking about Yeshua's mitzvot. The commandments is in Hebrew mitzvot. Okay? Mitzvah is a command. For I tell you, Yeshua said, that unless your righteousness exceeds, is that in there? Exceeds that of the Pharisees and Torah scholars, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe we need to hear this again. I certainly do. Yeshua says, for I tell you, now in the King James says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the Torah scholars, you will not enter, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I could say, well, it doesn't matter if you walk the line and you cross, come to the front and you raise your hand and then you went and got baptized and all those things. It's not a one and done deal. It's not that you can walk in and get the card that says I'm a member of heaven and you stay there and nothing happens. That there has to be a working, a righteousness, and it starts out small, but we got to exceed that of what he says here are the Pharisees and the Torah scholars. Yeshua is a Pharisaical rabbi himself. So he's talking about exceeding that. You see, the Pharisees and the Torah scholars were scrupulous in their observance of the mitzvot, the commandments. And they were zealous for the word. It's erroneous for us to think of the Pharisees as just some evil sect. I could say just like one of our political parties, but I won't. But I did. Okay? It's erroneous to say that. Just like it's erroneous to say that about any denomination, any group of people that serve the Lord. It's erroneous to think of them as evil. However, we don't have to just say, okay, well, then everything goes. No, 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 everything doesn't go. Everything doesn't go. Because nearly everyone who worships Adonai, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has some truth in them. And have some element of observance in them. So these guys, these are very zealous. They hungered and thirsted for procedural righteousness, being far more careful in their attention to the details of the letter of the Word of God than the disciples could ever be. So therefore, how can then the master say and ask the disciples, and by the way, he's asking us to reach a level of righteousness that is higher than the religious leaders of their day. Oh, you mean we've got to exceed the level of someone like Billy Graham? Oh, I set the bar really high. And we've got to get higher than, well, let's get a little higher than the Apostle Paul. Oh, really? Or the Apostle Peter? Or the Apostle John? Are we supposed to exceed? Well, we're supposed to try to exceed. Whether we make it or not, that's the judge to judge. Our goal needs to be to climb the high mountain and not to stay on the molehill. You know, our goal is not the Florida flatlands. You know, it's the Appalachian Mountains or higher. Okay? I can tell you that when the disciples heard this, their hearts must have sunk. How in the world can we fishermen and tax collectors, etc., exceed the righteousness of the religious leaders of our country? I think those are hard words. Yeshua is loaded with hard words. Yeshua has hard words. I don't mean by hard, harsh. Notice I did not say harsh. I just said hard. Serving God is not trivial. Serving God is not for the faint-hearted. Serving God is for accepting Yeshua as our Savior, becoming a member of his household, and then being like the sons of Abraham, ready to go to war against the forces of Sodom and Gomorrah, if necessary. That's an evil one. These are hard words. So the question I'm left with, is there a deeper meaning to what the Pharisees and Torah scholars, who were zealous for the word, okay? But they seem to follow a procedural righteousness. They derive righteousness from the actual doing of things in the more perfect you did them. Is there something more to it than that? Don't you think? I've already baited you. Don't you think? Is something a little more than that? Let me get to the point. Yeshua's rigorous, draw out the original intention of the Ten Commandments. The ten words were given, but there was more to them than what the word said. There's more to that. If you look at it and you ponder it in your heart, those ten words, those ten commandments, will spring out of the page and begin to speak to us. One of the things that people of his day, and I say today, believed is that the Messiah will explain all things. The Messiah will explain all difficult things in God's word. This is part of what the Messiah was supposed to do. And I want you to know that Yeshua did. Right off the bat, Yeshua did begin to explain the hard things and to bring them into the light. You see, the Pharisees wanted to build fences around the Torah so that, you know, like Trump's wall. Why don't you know that walls deter just casual crossing over? You just can't stand over there and see that 20-foot thing and say, okay, I'm just gonna go over there. And ignore the electricity and all those things. It's the same that you do in your farm. You put up a 4-foot fence and the deer don't even have to jump. You put up a 6-foot fence and the deer jump. And you put up an 8-foot fence and they think about it. And they might be looking at all that glorious, gorgeous garden there, but they're going to think about it if it's an 8-foot fence and not just jump over it and have at it. We had no fence. So the deer came and observed our fruit, especially the cantaloupes and watermelon. And we would go out there and say, it is 2 more days, and this thing's going to be ready to pick. And we go the next day, my son with me by my feet, and say, we're going to get that watermelon tomorrow. It's not today, Daddy. No. See, he's got a little green spot right there. Tomorrow. And we go there tomorrow, and the deer got it first. They got it first every time. They got all of the cantaloupes and all the watermelon. I was not all that upset about the watermelon because I don't really like it, but my wife was really upset. And so I talked to the people that grow watermelons, and they say the way you do it is you grow enough for all the deer, and then what's left, that's what you harvest. You grow enough for all the deer, and then what's left is what you harvest. Okay? Either that, or you do like the neighbor at Sunshine Lake and put on an 8-foot fence around his 2.5-mile square property. Think for a moment how many feet that is. 5,000 times 2 plus a half squared. Okay? That is one big expensive fence. And it's been there. The newest fence has been there 20 years. And it shows no sign of being weak. Fences deter things. That's why Israel is building a fence between Gaza and Israel. Why? So they cannot just casually walk over and throw a bomb or something on somebody. Not casually. They're going to have to work at it. So the Pharisees did the same thing about trying to protect the Torah. The problem was that the fences became more important than the Torah itself. Okay? And Yeshua was a Pharisee, so he built fences around the Torah as well. He calls his disciples to do everything at a level that reaches the very heart of the matter. He went past the outside and went right to the deep, to the heart of the matter. The standard that he raised is at the core of whom his Father is. It's at the core of the Almighty One, the Holy One of Israel, which we forget to say a lot. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's the Holy One of Israel. Yeshua gives specific examples by going beyond the prohibition of things like murder. He goes beyond murder and he says anger. Because anger is a form of murdering somebody. When you're angry and you spill out your poison, the person who's listening sinks and dies. And if you do that to your husband or to your wife long enough, they die and require a special kind of grace from God to resuscitate. He gives a prohibition against slander. He gives a prohibition against insults under the covering of murder. Nowadays, you can ask the shrinks. Should be nice and call the shrinks, you know, the people that work with those things, the heads and the mind and those things. And it's true that we can damage other people with our words. No wonder Yeshua's brother said that our tongues were a fire and a sword that could destroy. Yeshua goes beyond the prohibition against adultery. There's prohibition. The 10 words say, do not commit adultery. But then he goes on and says, well, if you never lust, you're not going to commit adultery. If you don't lust, you're not going to commit adultery. Therefore, don't lust, which is against God's word too. He raises the sanctity of marriage with a prohibition of divorce for the sake of remarriage. It needs to be understood. Prohibition of divorce for the sake of remarriage. He raises the standard of the prohibition of taking God's name in vain by saying, well, don't oath. Don't swear by anything. Not by heaven, not by all those things. So he set up a big fence. He's like Trump. He set up a fence, a big one, to keep the squatters out. Each of these pronouncements of Yeshua, each of this mitzvot of Yeshua, each of these commandments of Yeshua, built fences around the original commandments and raised the standard of righteous living to a deeper spiritual level. I call it the heart level. He transferred it from the mind to the heart. From the mind to the heart. Okay? The heart has four chambers. The brain is only one. So he put it in a place that there are lots of in and outs. Okay? And it's where the rubber meets the road. We stay alive because our pumper pumps. His words expose the internal deviancy that's inside the heart of man. He cuts past the external appearances and sets up a nisim, a banner for us. A banner for the 10 words, for the 10 commandments. A banner in our heart. A flag at the entrance of our heart. We have to agree these are high standards. We have to agree these are higher standards of righteousness than the religious leaders of his time had. Therefore, by following his commands, our righteousness will automatically exceed that of the religious leaders of his time and of our time too. Look, this is not trivial. No wonder in chapter 10 of John, he said, if you love me, you'll give me some money. If you love me, you'll bring me some bread and wine. If you love me, you get me a nice red car. You know, an Italian car. Okay? It's not fool around. Okay, let's get a Maserati or, you know, let's get something like that for the Lord. Don't bring him your old beat up Toyota. Okay? I mean, there are nice Toyotas out there. But, you know, you probably don't want to give that to the Lord. You look around and say, well, which one of these is the best car I had? You give that one. Okay? The 4Runner. He get in my house, he get the 4Runner. We don't want to give him any junk. Okay, so therefore we are going to automatically, by keeping his commandments, we are going to love him. Do you understand what that means? By keeping his commandments, you're going to love him. That means that if you don't keep his commandments, your love is going to be a little bit suspect. Okay, some people think, They cast Yeshua as a great pretender, as a great slow guy, as a great lover of lovers. Oh, well, yeah, you spit on me, but I love you. And you kick me, but, you know, I came to die for you. Those are facts. He did do that. He did do that. But he surely did not get me saved so that I stand there and go, Let your foot be there. And keep hitting him on the knee continually. I mean, I did that in my life. When I came to him, I needed to stop doing that. I needed to stop being contrary or ornery towards God. Okay, let me illustrate for you. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, it says, do not murder. But note the following. In Exodus 21, a slave master could severely beat their servant with or without anger and be justified. Yeshua in Matthew 5 starts the deal. The most complete beginning sermon of all. It's the Sermon of the Mount. That's why we used to give money for people to memorize it all. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We still do. You want a $250 plaque or something like that? And a 10 cents for every verse? Like to make some money? Then memorize Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Come and recite it before the congregation. We'll give you a plaque for your wall. It won't say how many touchdowns you did or how many field goals or how many. It won't say any of that. It will say that you have mastered and put in your heart the words of Yeshua, and that you're a hero. And you can have that until you're old. People say, well, what did you get that for? What kind of great feat did you do? I said, I recited all of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. All of that? Yes, all of that. With Kavanah. You know, like that. Well, here's what Yeshua said in Matthew 5. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, and I try to imagine what that sounds like. I don't know what it means. But how do you say it? I mean, it sounds like raka, which sounds terrible. Actually, that C is probably a CH. It's a kaf. And it's pronounced with a spit and everything. Raka! Raka! Okay, that sounds a lot better. It's like, do you want to call? No. Raka! We'll be subject to the council. And whoever says you fool, wow, shall be subject to fiery hell. I think his commandment here is a little bit tougher than just the do not murder. Do not commit adultery. In fact, the Torah required two or three witnesses to convict a woman of adultery, or she had to go through a trial of bitter water. He didn't have to. Don't preach, Tony. He got off, he got jealous and said his wife was cheating on him and goes and accuses her. And just because he got jealous and accuses her, she has to go through this trial. What does he have to do? Maybe he give a big offering in the offering. I don't know what you have to do. Here's Yeshua. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman, he intended that to be men, okay? Nowadays, people want to argue that it's something different. That's what he intended. But to lust after her has committed adultery with her in his heart. You know, Yeshua didn't take it from the woman and say, well, the woman. No. It's not the woman. It's the man. And he goes right to the man. You're the one that has a problem with your eyes. And you start looking around and thinking thoughts in your head. And actually, you're doing it. I'm not easy. Yeah, you're doing it. So no more standing on the corner watching all the girls go by. No more of that. Again, the third one. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not swear falsely. Do not lie. But shall carry out your oaths to Adonai. And Yeshua said, I tell you not to swear at all. I mean, not by heaven, not for it's the throne of God, not by the earth, which is his footstool. But yet let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and anything more than this is from the evil one. But just kind of threw that one out. How about this one? If anyone injures his neighbor as he has done, the same is to be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Just as he has injured someone, so you shall do it to him. Give back 100% what they gave you. And Yeshua said, but I tell you, do not resist the evildoer. What? But whoever slaps you on the right cheek. I like the TLV. Slaps you on the right cheek, turn the left one also. Really? And the one wanting to sue you and take your shirt, you say, okay, here, have the shirt and have the coat too. I mean, really? Really? Here's another one. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Yeshua said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I must say, Yeshua's commandments are not a dime a dozen. Right? They're really pretty strong. Let me read a couple things here and try to be as fast as I can. Our Savior said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Which ones? Well, actually, any of them and all of them. Because they're all really hard. Actually, they're all really hard. They all deal with the intent of the heart. He gave three promises to everyone who will do this. He said, he that has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. You want to see Yeshua? I mean, here's this is a promise. You want? Oh, I hear many of you say, I've never seen him. Here's a promise. He will reveal himself to you if you do this. It's a promise. Anyone who is loved by the Father through his Son Yeshua and who intimately knows Yeshua will have special abilities. They'll have the ability to give wise counsel and give insightful testimony to others. All words of wisdom, as well as all the things that happens to us, are related to the goal of knowing him so that we can be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Therefore, I will say, loving the Lord means keeping his commandments. Second thing I can say, since God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, then surely we ought to love one another. Okay? Loving those who love us back is easy. Loving the world with all of its problems is hard. So loving a particular blue party is hard. Okay? But we should be able to love the people. When we take inventory of the 10 words spoken by Adonai in Exodus 20, we realize how many of those have to do with others, relating to the world around us. So John, you know, John the revelator, John the favorite one of Yeshua, he doesn't have much to say either. He's kind of a wimp. Here it is. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Boom. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his neighbor and his brother. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Those who receive our words, when you and I speak to people, must be convinced that we're speaking out of our heart of genuine love. They will only be able to discern this if we ourselves, Shema, love the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, and all our will. Okay, that's the basis. Because Yeshua said, Amen, I tell you, whatever you did to the least of these my brethren, you did to me. Therefore, keeping his commandments means loving others. Keeping his commandments of Yeshua means to love others. Lastly, the purpose of testifying, which we're supposed to do by our words of our testimony, or giving godly counsel, is a way to provide light for others to follow. Without the light, which is Adonai's truth, people stumble in darkness. Proverbs 4, 18, 19. We are to be the light of the world. Yeshua said, we are the light of the world. Okay. Yeshua explained precisely how we're supposed to be light in Matthew chapter 6. The eye is a lamp of the body. Therefore, we are to let the light of our eyes so shine before men that they will see the good works that we do for them and glorify our Father who is in heaven. What am I talking about? You have the look of love, like the song, the look of love is in your heart. That look of love is Yeshua. People should be able to see him right through our eyes. Having the light of Messiah in our eyes is a vital means of discerning the motives of those who come to you to ask questions. Those who want the truth will want to come to the light, while those who are evil will stay away from the light, lest their deeds be exposed. Many would-be witnesses of the gospel spend countless hours of useless time trying to help those who really don't want to be free from their evil deeds. On the other hand, those who are eager for lasting results are open to the light that radiates from Adonai's love in our eyes. Did you know that there's a relationship between the commandments and light? It's in Psalm 19. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The mitzvot of the Lord, which includes Yeshua, the mitzvot of Yeshua is pure, enlightening the eyes. This is Stephen's wife's name, Elora. Elora, the light of God. Our drum player is the light of God. Okay? And it's coming through. When we witness to someone and we have the light of Yeshua in our eyes, it causes their heart to rejoice because the Bible said, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. The Bible doesn't lie. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Therefore, the third thing, if we keep the mitzvot of Yeshua, we will have light in our eyes. Our eyes will be bright and not dark. Our eyes will give energy and not suck energy. Our lights will radiate so that people almost want to hug you, even if you're at Walmart and they're trying to practice social distancing. They still want to hug you. I want to tell you the greater 10 words are in Yeshua are in Matthew 5 through 7. And it's challenging because we have to focus on the love aspects of our life. And there's a tendency that we want to think about just commandments, like the Pharisees. Well, just do this, you do that, the other. And Yeshua is not interested in just do this, do that, and the other. I mean, he wants you to do it, okay? He told us to do it. But he told us to do it with the right heart, with the right attitude. And if we have that kind of attitude and heart, you can be successful. I can assure you that our friend Lois, that's Lois there, when she goes to minister after services on Saturday to the homeless. Well, maybe you haven't experienced, because we tend to be not real experiencers around here. Next time you get near Lois, look deeply into her eyes. I have. And I see someone who has given much for the Lord. She loves God enough to go inconvenience herself for the sake of people that have very little. And I applaud such. I'm sorry, Lois, to speak in front of everybody about you. I deeply love and respect you. Truly, Yeshua said that our righteousness has to excel Microsoft product, has to excel that of the religious leaders of our time as well. Therefore, it is our job as a disciple to emulate our teacher to make more disciples. Therefore, I trust that you will follow Yeshua's 10 words. You'll follow Yeshua's commandments. You'll follow Yeshua's mitzvot. To let them go deep into your heart this year. And as a result, become righteous doers. The word for that is tzaddik. Tzaddikim. And not just hearers of the word. The dance today was tzaddikatamar yiftach yiftach. Tzaddikatamar yiftach. Tzaddikatamar yiftach yiftach. Tzaddikatamar yiftach. Que eres criado yifte, que eres Lebanon yifte, que eres Lebanon yifte, yifte. So where's that? Psalm 52. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree, one of the great cedars. So the righteous are like a tree that's planted, like the cedars of Lebanon, which are stately. You guys can become the cedars of Gainesville. Shabbat shalom.